Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Inside the NDL. I am your host, D. Kane, with my co-host, Penguin, and we have a very special guest today, the Niddler. Welcome on the show, Niddler.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming. And how are you doing today, JD?
I'm doing good, man. It's been a good couple days. I've been off work all week on vacation. Just staying at home doing different things. Had some time I had to use or lose, so just been enjoying doing that.
Well, that's awesome. How about you,
I'm sure
Chris?
completely. I was gonna say I'm sure it's been completely stress-free in all ways, and he hasn't had anything this week that has caused him any anxiety or just increased his stress level whatsoever. So I mean, that's what you get when you have time out, right?
Don't know about
Yeah,
that one.
believe me, personal life has been just as good, so
And how
all
are you
good.
doing?
Yeah,
How are you doing, Penguin?
I'm doing pretty well, pretty well. The bookstore has been open for 1 week now. Stuff's going well. I haven't gotten in trouble with HR at work yet either. And I mean, so far, so good.
Did you guys keep the father-in-law from holding on to the phone and not answering those calls coming in?
Yeah, I don't know if he's been back in the building since. So I mean, he has his value he brings in some of dealing with money management and dealing with numbers and some things that he's savvy with. But as far as any hands-on regarding touching anything physically in the store, I think we're going to look to avoid that in the future.
Sounds like a good game plan. All right, well,
Yeah,
jumping right
that's
into
an idea.
things here. JD, you've been around since season 18. How did you find the NDL, and who or what brought you to the league?
So when I joined, I was helping run a league called the XCFL, a Madden league, for a guy named Ragin' Raven. And I hooked up with him through, I was working at GameStop at the time, just part time. I had a full time job at Progressive Insurance, but I was working part time at GameStop as my wife was in school then. So I had a ton of free time. There was a GameStop, like, I don't know, literally a mile from our house. So I was running a Madden League for him on Xbox. He had one, the same league on PlayStation. So we had representation on both systems. And at one point in time, it must have been like during season 17 of NDL, he decided that he just did not want to do it anymore. And I think I kept it going for just one more season. And then it was either League Daddy or Daddy Leagues. I forget what was back then. But I started searching on there for different leagues. And I forget what the name of the league was I jumped into right before the NDL. And it just was not for me. It was guys who, a lot of lobby ball and a lot of stuff that I just was not about. And I found the NDL through there, through, I don't know if it was on that site then, or if it was, I thought it was through one of those two that I found it. And I reached out and joined it, and I did, really didn't know anybody in the league at the time. So I was a complete outsider. I joined, and it was absolutely perfect for someone like me. I'm more of a career 500 type player. I've never been awesome on the sticks, but I've never been completely terrible either. Just okay. So for me, it was incredible when I first joined. I mean, I was absolutely blown away. I remember, finding out that they had, like, I don't know how many teams were it was back then, but 100 plus coaches back then. And I was just blown away by it. And then the way that they did everything, how you entered stuff and ran things through a website, and it was downright amazing to me back then. So I was in awe and absolutely fell in love with the community. It's and again, here we are.
Fantastic. Question I think that's kind of leads us naturally into here that we have is you've been around, I mean, grant not since the very beginning, but at this point you are definitely a seasoned veteran and have seen a lot of the administrations and people running this come and go. How did you find yourself making that transition into the point where you're one of the driving organizational forces of the league now?
Well, it's funny because I kind of just fell into it. When the original NDL was here, I was a conference commissioner at the end, the last couple seasons before the NCAA game went away. And even as a conference commissioner, I didn't understand a lot of the way things worked. The internet, and you didn't have Discord, you didn't have things like that. So there was a lot of behind the scenes stuff that as a conference commissioner, you just didn't need to know. And it wasn't, a good or bad thing. It just, you didn't need to know it. So it was pretty much just writing articles and being there for your conference if they needed something. So that's how I kind of ended my last season. And then how I fell into kind of a leadership role was the OOTP baseball. If you don't know, it's a baseball simulation game that mimics running a real baseball organization. And NDL had a league going, and they still do, actually. Rain was the commissioner at the time. So I joined that, and then he wanted somebody to kind of learn the ropes and become the next commissioner of that OOTP baseball game. He was ready for a break and needed somebody. So he took me under his wing. He taught me absolutely everything I needed to know about playing the game and then being a commissioner of it. And so that's what kind of kept the forums going while the NCAA game went away. And then...
Yeah, I've heard people allude to that a lot, that we have that game to thank in a large part for keeping the community on life support.
Honestly, it is. That's what kept it around. And again, it wasn't me. It was, I don't know who was the commissioner before Rain, but again, he was the commissioner when NCAA kind of went away, and then I took over, and then I handed it off to other people since then. But it is what kept the forums alive. I mean, it's the only thing that really people use the forums for at that point. And when the NCAA game was announced to come back, Homie and I have always stayed in touch. And excuse me, he texted me and he said, "Hey, I'm getting the site back up and running, for the NCAA side of the site, not the forums." He's like, "And I actually want to go to Discord for all the communication and stuff instead of the forums." And he started just talking with me about it. Like, am I interested? And I'm like, absolutely. And during the time that we were gone, like, he and I would, work with him. Really, it was him doing all the work, but keeping our website up to date, keeping it up and running, just from a maintenance standpoint, security standpoint, that type of stuff. So I'd reach out to him when I would get emails about updates needing done and stuff. And so we always kept in touch. And when he told me he was getting it back together, I mean, I was like, absolutely, count me in. And then when he started setting stuff up, it just happened by default because I was the one that helped kind of keep the forums updated and keep them here with him. Again, he did all the work to give him the credit, but it was defaulted. It was like, okay, here's the Discord. And he set me up as an admin. And then as we started to kind of take shape, it was just like, okay, well, you're the commish. It's like, okay. Like, again, I didn't know how a lot of the back end stuff worked. I didn't deal with that when I was a conference commissioner before. So, it's from that regard, it's great having people like Buckeye, Matt, and having Big Mike in there because they have ran the league before. So, they're a huge resource that I was able to reach out to and like, hey, I just don't understand this. And they'll help me understand it. And, we go from there. But yeah, I kind of just fell into it just because I was always in touch with him, keeping stuff going. And then the baseball league now is ran by, I think it's still Billy Dupas, W. Dupas, but That league has been around, my God, I don't even know how many real years, probably 15 real years or more.
And does that still live on the old forms?
It did until fairly recently. I don't know when they stopped. But I was just talking to George, George's Goons, or his PlayStation, I think, is You Douche Canoe.
I remember that one.
And I just texted him the other day asking him about it. And he told me that they are now on Slack. So we kind of had a blend for a while. We use Slack and the forums just because Slack, you can feed game information into and it'll give you like live game scores and that kind of stuff. So we did kind of a part here, part there. But I think he told me, I don't have my phone in front of me right now, but I think he told me that they are now fully on Slack and not using the forums anymore.
Very cool.
So sticking with the conversation of you being in an admin role, in regards to being an admin, what is the most rewarding or satisfying part of your role in being one of the driving forces of the NDL?
It's kind of weird to say. I don't know exactly how to phrase it, but I have been a youth sports coach for many years now. And I coach baseball, basketball, and football. And it's, I don't want to say it's a need, but I like having my hands in things. I like being part of the decision making. You know, when I coach, I don't know why, it's just by default. I've always been a head coach. I don't have to be, I don't feel like I have to be. But I always have been. And I think that just kind of plays into my personality, I guess. I guess that's just me. And again, I enjoy being part of the decision. And I coach just like I run the NDL. Like I don't need to be the final decision maker. I have a team to make that decision. But I like being a part of that decision. And that's probably the most rewarding or satisfying part, is just kind of being able to be involved and helping make some of those decisions. And I think for me, it's the admin team does a great job, to give them all credit, of keeping things on track and making sure we do what's best for the league as a whole. You know, you're going to have your outliers here or there that are going to have their opinions one way or the other on different topics, but it's the admin team comes together and really does a good job discussing, and hey, you know, here's something we need to decide on. It's not just a yes or no vote. It's let's discuss this. Let's talk about it. What makes the most sense. So, you know, for me, that's, again, probably the most satisfying, is just that I get to be a part of that. And a lot of that, I think, comes from, again, my coaching, but from the NDL perspective, it comes from my passion for the community. Again, when I first joined, I was absolutely amazed at how it worked and how, you know, you went from, I think back then you might have only had 16 people in an online dynasty. So you go from that to 100 plus human coaches, and it's like, whoa, how in the hell does this work? And like I said, I've always been interested in it. And then I've always been pro NDL. And when it had a chance to come back, I was like, okay, let's make this special. Let's keep it going. Let's, you know, it's been here for, 20, going on 21 years now. That's tremendous to me. So to be a part of that and be able to be a decision maker, it's rewarding.
Gotcha. So a person who actually, you know, has the giftings and drive to be in management, so to speak, versus those people who find themselves in that role because they're seeking power or were really good as an hourly employee and got up there and got promoted beyond their capability. So glad we have you in that spot with the tools you have, and your personality especially as well, I think plays well into that place as well, because Lord knows there are times where it would be nice to take a potato peeler to some of the people and some of the interactions around here, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I have to laugh. And I don't want, you're right. Let's just say that you're right. Because, you know, I look at like when the new guys come in, I feed them so much information. And I understand that if you're new, sometimes it may be a little overwhelming. And I tell guys that, like, look, I know this is a lot, but I want you to have the information to be able to refer back to later. And again, that comes from my coaching. That's how I am with players. I don't just tell them what they need to do. I tell them why they need to do it. Mm-hmm. Because I've learned
that can matter a lot. Yep.
When you do that, you get far more buy-in, in my opinion. When you explain to somebody, you're willing to take the time, explain to them, here's what you need to do, but here's why you need to do it. It helps them understand, oh, okay, this guy's not just blowing smoke. He actually understands, here's what it is, and here's why it is. So, again, I think that that's just my personality, and I appreciate you telling, you know, saying that it fits well and works, but I think that it all comes back to just how I am. There's no answer of why, it just is what it is.
Fantastic. Now we'll go on a slightly lighter note here. Something we've heard you mention multiple times about something that takes up your weekends occasionally from the NDL. Here you talk about RC car race, and that this is a hobby you're engaged in. Tell us a bit more about that. How'd you get into that? How did that become part of your life?
Oh man. I'll try to keep this short, but I could talk about this topic all day. My son, we're literally doing a 4-H project on RC car racing. So when I was, I'm going to say 10 years old, 12 years old, somewhere in that area, I had a neighbor who, it was a female lady, and she was into flying RC planes. And where I grew up and where I live is a very small town. Wheeling, West Virginia is where it had the big hobby shop. And she got to know the owner of that hobby shop over the years. And one time I was at her house and I'm looking at these planes and it was like, man, this is awesome. And, you know, as a kid, you're used back then. I mean, we're talking late 70s, early 80s. It was the cars that had the cord attached to them, you know, a remote control where you had to literally walk behind the car as you're driving it because it had a cord attached. So to see a plane that you could fly in the air remotely, it was just, oh my God, this is awesome. You know? And I fell in love with it. She took me out to, they had an air show one time, and the guy who owned the hobby shop, he had his plane in the air. It's the first time I ever met him. She walked me up to him and she said, "Hey Jim, I want you to meet JD." And he was like, "Hey, you know, you want to fly it?" And I'm like, "Well, of course I do, you know." And he handed me the controller as it's already in the air, knowing that I really didn't have to do anything. It's already flying on its own, but you know, I could go left and right and mess around with it. But it hooked me instantly. I was like, "Oh my God, this is awesome! I want to get into this hobby." And I went over and eventually saw him and bought an RC car off of him. And then two of my good buddies that I grew up with bought cars. So not long after I did. So then we had three of us with them. Well, then before you know it, it was probably, I don't know, six or seven of us that all bought cars. And we would set up cones in the road and we'd race around the cones, set up our own little track. And by the time I was, I'm going to say 15-ish, that guy who had a hobby shop, he had a track upstairs on the third floor of his building. Just this tiny little oval track, indoor carpet, and we'd go there and race on the weekends. And then when I hit 16 and could drive, my first car was a 79 Chevy Malibu station wagon. It was white. My friends all called it the milk wagon. And we loved it because you could fit all seven of us in there with all our racing stuff and just go racing for the weekend. So it was awesome. And then
I can appreciate that. My first vehicle, I had an 89 Buick Electra station wagon. We called the boat, very similar type vehicle.
Yep. Sorry. I love the big boats. And then in the summertime when I hit 16 in a little town called Lafferty, Ohio, a guy set up an outdoor clay track. So we would run dirt tracks. And It was just awesome. And then I went away to college after I graduated high school. And I honestly don't even remember when we sold it or why we sold it, but all of my stuff eventually got sold. And then I worked a couple places. And in 2002, I was married to my first wife. I got a divorce in 2002. And when I got a divorce, I lived in Mentor, Ohio area, and about an hour away in Akron, Ohio. My buddies, a couple buddies, one of them from my childhood, still raced radio control cars. And at this point, I mean, it was, you're talking very competitive. You're talking, we drove to North Carolina for a national event from Ohio. I mean, it got to be where, like, my buddy had a sponsorship, so he was getting batteries and certain things free from a sponsor.
Oh, wow. So
it got very competitive. And I got back into the hobby, and I loved it. And then, I don't know what year that was, but I ended up moving back. So I got a divorce from her, played with those guys for a while with RC cars. And then I met my current wife. When I met her, again, I don't know why I sold everything, but I did. And then we lived up there for, I'm going to say, about 12 to 15 years. And during that time, I wasn't in the hobby. I didn't have anything. And then we were getting ready to have our first kid, so my son, and we moved back to my home area just because her family was like an hour to the west of Cleveland. My family was 2.5 hours southeast of Cleveland. That's where I live now. And So it was nice to have family around when you have kids. So my mom lives,
for sure,
you know, just down the road. It was, you know, as they say, it takes a village. So I was coaching youth basketball just a few years ago, and one of the kids I was coaching, he said, I asked him, you know, hey, what are you doing this weekend? He said, oh, I'm going racing. And I thought he meant like maybe he was going to watch like dirt track racing or something in real life, you know, like real cars. And he's like, no, RC cars. And I was like, where in the hell do you do that around here? And he was like, oh, there's a track in Wheeling, West Virginia. So he told me where it was at. And then when his dad came to pick him up, I talked to his dad about it. And I said, you know, do you mind if I come over and watch you guys this weekend? He's like, no, come on over. I went over and obviously was instantly just right back into the hobby. Like, okay, I'm hooked again. Let me get stuff and get back in this. And thank God for like Facebook Marketplace and stuff, because all my stuff that I have now, I shouldn't say all, but 90% of it I bought used. So that it was way cheaper than, you know, the good stuff. But, you know, when we talk about like this is RC cars, it's not the cheapies that you see at Walmart. Mm-hmm. You buy them new. Some of them are $500, $600, $700, $800, $900. By the time you buy the car, all the electronics you need in them, you know, the motor, the speed controller, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And then some of them are only $150, $200 new. It just depends on what class you want to run. But, you know, these are, if you will, the big boy cars that there's some people that still travel around and they have sponsorships, and it's incredible some of the tracks that people build. And I don't know, again, I could talk about all day, but it's just, to me, it's great fun. Like our local track, we keep it very fun. Yeah, of course you want to win, but it's a family atmosphere.
There's no dark side of it where there's gambling on it.
No, not yet anyway. When we go to some bigger events, it's neat and weird at the same time, because most tracks, you become a clique, you become a clan, you become a team, if you will. And like, yeah, you're trying to win individually, but you also want your other guys that you race with every week to do well as well. So it's almost like each track becomes a team, and they don't do points like that for team wise, but it's just interesting the way the dynamic works out, that, you know, even as we're older, we still find ourselves getting back into the high school cliques, you know, I know these guys, I race with these guys, so I want to support them, and they're supporting me. So, but it's to me amazing. It's a lot of fun. when I got back into it, I introduced my son to it. The first time I introduced him, he came over, he raced my car a little bit, just practice time and stuff. And he liked it, but it was like, eh, it's okay. And then I was doing it no matter what. So the next year, when the next race year started, he told me he wanted to try it again. And then this time now he fell in love with it. So now he has, I think I race four classes, he races four or five. So it's just, to me, it's an awesome experience to do with my son. It's father-son time. It's an all-day thing. I mean, we'll get there at 11 in the morning, and it doesn't finish till maybe 8 or 9 at night. And it's just, now that he's with me, like, I enjoy it that much more. It just, it gives me something to do, something for us to bond over, something for us to, you know, we have in common. And I know he'll grow out of it as he gets into high school and, you know, girls become more important and this and that, but I hope that it's something that he carries on, eventually gets back into, and, you know, if it's still around when time comes that he has kids that are his age, you know, can get into it.
That's going to be the fourth chapter of your journey. Your originally, your post-first marriage, your son, then grandchildren. So chapter four.
Yeah,
I
don't know if I, hopefully I live long enough to see those grandkids, because I got a late start in life with kids, but we'll see.
So, Niller,
that's awesome.
I just want to go out on a limb here and guess that Niller is a play on the Riddler, but I could be wrong. So where does the name really come from?
So you are wrong. My last name is Nidel. It's the word idle with an N in front of it. So it's N-I-D-L-E. And it's pronounced Nidel. And one time my buddy, one of my buddies, we used to sit on his deck all the time and smoke cigars and, you know, grill up burgers. And we set up a projector and would watch fights outside and stuff. And
I loved every word in that sentence.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was awesome. And my wife would sit there with me, my current wife. So it was an awesome experience. And he called me it one day. He called me the Niddler, and it just stuck. Like, my friends started calling me that, and I set up my PlayStation online name as that, and it just stuck. And I even went out and bought Niddler.com. But it had since sold, and now it's on somebody else. And then I bought a Niddler.net, and again, I just didn't do anything with them, so I let them go for now. But it just one of those things that just stuck. I even have it on the license plate on my truck. I have a custom plate, and that's what it is Niddler.
That's really cool.
You guys, bear with me a moment. My headset just died.
Oh, wow. Well, while Penguin's no over here struggling, where are you in the family currently? And if it's not your hometown, where are you from originally? Because I know you mentioned it earlier.
Yeah, so I am in my hometown. It's a very small town called Dillonvale, Ohio. There's actually two Dillonvales in Ohio. One is over by Cincinnati, and this one that I'm in is on the other side of the state of Ohio, close to where Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia all come together. They call it the tri-state area, or the Ohio Valley. And literally you could take a 15-minute ride and be in all three states. So it's that close to those three. I grew up here. After here, I went to college in Akron, Ohio, and then I moved up a little bit further north from there, Willoughby, Mentor, Mayfield. I was there from probably like 1997 till around 2015, maybe even 16, somewhere in that area. And then I moved back here to my home area. So until I moved back here, I was actually lived in Northeast Ohio for more years than I lived here. Because I was up there for about, I don't know, 20 years or so, 21 years. But while the city of, like, the east side of Cleveland and those cities that I lived in were nice, and it's nice to have the conveniences, having kids, I wanted them to grow up how I grew up, where, you know, if you want to go out in your backyard and let off fireworks, no one cares. If you want to, like my son, now he's into 4-H and stuff, so we can go out in our yard and shoot guns, because there's, on the one side of us, there's no neighbors, it's a hillside. You know, it's, we ride ATVs all the time. So I just, we wanted to move back here, and luckily my wife was all about it. She grew up about an hour west of Cleveland, and when I mentioned about coming down here, she said that, like, every time we would come down and visit my parents, we would have the, we called it what if talks. Like, what would life be like if, you know, we moved back? And luckily it was, she agreed, and we moved back here.
It's awesome. So let's stay on the topic of Ohio. It sometimes gets a bad rap. In fact, there are some people who call it the armpit of America. Is this deserved?
No. And in fact, I'll say hell no. And the reason I say that is, you know, obviously this is the only state that I've lived in, but personally, I love the state. And the reason I do, again, where I live currently, it's Appalachia. It's, we have rolling hills. It's absolutely gorgeous. You know, I could post pictures of out my front window of the valley that we look down in, and it's the sunsets, the sunrises. They're absolutely incredible. And, you know, people laugh when I say this, but some of our views are honestly just as nice looking as, I don't know, when you're in Hawaii looking at the mountains, you know, not the ocean, obviously, but it's, we have that type of greenery. We have rolling hills. We have, you know, it's, I don't know. I just like it a lot. I lived in Columbus for a few years, and then I lived in Cleveland for many, the 21 years in the Cleveland area. And I think both of those cities, especially Cleveland, Columbus doesn't really get a bad rap. Cleveland does, mostly because of their sports teams. But city-wise, both of those cities, excuse me, honestly have a lot to offer. They, from nightlife to bars and microbreweries to restaurants, I mean, Cleveland is absolutely amazing at the variety of restaurants that you can have, from just authentic places. Authentic, there's a place called Little Italy that has tons of Italian stuff. You have a Korean neighborhood, you have a Jewish neighborhood, you have a Russian neighborhood. I mean, it's just, there's little pockets, and each one has their own ethnic restaurants. And, you know, people just don't take the time to talk about those things. You hear always about, you know, and I'm like all Cleveland sports fan here, but you hear the bad, you know, the Browns suck, the Indians are struggling, the Cavs with LeBron leaving. so I think that the city gets a bad rap when it shouldn't, really. Columbus is an absolutely amazing city to me. I know a lot of people that don't like the hustle and bustle of a city, but it's more of a, I'll say, a hipster type city. You know, you have your microbrews, and it's all those types of people that you would expect, like the hipster type people. And nothing against those folks. I'm just, that's what it is, the type of people that,
and some, that's
hang
okay
out in the downtown.
Gotcha. So, to follow up on that a little bit, if we were to have, let's say, a future NDL convention in the state of Ohio, where would you recommend that we do that? Generally.
Honestly, it'd be one of those two cities. I don't know Cincinnati well enough. I know Rain is in that area, so he might be able to shed some light on what Cincinnati has to offer. But I imagine all three cities are pretty damn similar. You know, for me, Cleveland is what I would recommend just because I know the city better. But Columbus is, again, I mean, obviously it's the capital of our state, but it's more popular. You know, it doesn't get the bad rap that Cleveland does. But both of them, I mean, any city, pretty much when you're in a big city, you know, for the most part, it's, you know, I'll say 90% good, 10% bad, you know, where you have a pocket that's run down or, you know, not as nice. And the rest of it is absolutely incredible. I mean, so either one of those would work. It's hard to pick between them. Both of them have about the same to offer with your food and your entertainment and your restaurants and your bars and your, you know, that type of stuff.
Gotcha, gotcha.
All right, sorry about that. Was listening in on a little bit of a... sorry, I'm not going to lie. I'm checking in on that game, seeing how everything was going over there.
I think it ended already.
That's why I said I was checking over there to see how everything had ended. I do have a question, though, because we always like to find out some people's little hobbies or quirks outside of the RCs. Just give me your opinion. What makes a sandwich a sandwich? And do hot dogs or tacos qualify? And how do you build your favorite sandwich?
So there's a couple parts there. So I'll start with hot dogs and tacos. When I say this, I don't want the hot dog and taco aficionados out there to beat down my door. But I don't think they're a sandwich. I think they're their own classification. I think they're their own entity. I think hot dogs are hot dogs. Like when I say I'm going to get a sandwich, I never think of, okay, I'm going to buy a hot dog. You know, if I'm at a baseball game, I don't say I'm going to go buy a sandwich and walk up and buy a hot dog. I say I'm going to go buy a hot dog. So I think they're their own classification. To me, a sandwich is bread, usually two pieces of bread, but you know, if you think like a hoagie bun type of thing, that as well, with some meat, some protein in the middle, whether it's burger, pulled pork, chicken, you know, that's what I think of as a sandwich. Mm-hmm. But I am also a heavy meat lover. I eat meat almost every day, if not every day. I mix in vegetables and different things, but I definitely am a meat eater. I think that cows basically have two purposes in life, and that's milk and burgers. And steak, as my son just reminded me. but yeah, to me, a sandwich is that. And, you know, to say, how do I make mine? How do I build my favorite sandwich? I don't know if I can really tell you what my favorite sandwich is, because there's a lot of them that I like. Yesterday and today I had a sausage, Italian sausage sandwich, where you cook it in the crock pot all day, a bunch of sausages in a marinara sauce and, you know, some onions, some peppers, some garlic, some oregano, whatever else we're throwing in there. And letting it literally sit all day to where when you go to pull that sausage out, it wants to fall right off the fork. Put that on a hoagie bun, extra sauce on it, and then pile on some shredded cheese and dig right in.
That's a great answer. Love it. Well, we've talked a lot about Ohio, and you've said a lot of good things about it. Well, given that Ohio is definitely known for a few significant attractions, and chiefly among those, I think stuff people automatically think of are the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Have you been to either of these, and would you recommend if so?
I've been to both. I guess I'll start with the Hall of Fame because it's easier to talk about. The Hall of Fame, to me, if you're a football fan, yes, it's a must. There's a lot of history of the game there. You know, I'm not a history buff by any means outside of sports, but when it comes to sports, I absolutely love the history aspect. You know, just to see some of the greats, some of the equipment, some of the, Super Bowl rings, how they've evolved. It's just amazing to me to walk around there and just think of, you know, some of the people that in my lifetime I got to watch. You know, it's just amazing to think of. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to me, yes, it's cool, and yes, I'd recommend it if you've never been there. I guess my one gripe, and it's not a knock on any of these people that got in, because I grew up listening to people like LL Cool J and you know, trying to think of who else is in there. But those people don't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's called the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, not the Music Hall of Fame. So that has always irked me, that we have artists that aren't rock and roll artists. You know, Michael Jackson's in there. He wasn't rock and roll. I can absolutely appreciate what he did, and he's amazing for what he did music-wise. And I grew up listening to him, grew up loving his music. But I hate that he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because, again, it's called Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, not Music Hall of Fame. So, but other than that, the place itself is cool. There's a lot of cool things in there, you know, to see some, I don't know, guitars by Jimi Hendrix or, you know, different things like that. It's definitely an awesome place to visit. Again, this has always been one of my little pet peeves, is who they let in and why is it called that if it's not just rock and roll. So
I've had that exact argument with people on more than two occasions. And yes, I completely agree. If it, that, yeah, rock and roll belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, yep. You don't, again, it's no offense to any of those artists. I wouldn't expect to see, I don't know, Green Day in the Country Hall of Fame. They're not country. So it's the same thing to me. Like, these people aren't rock and roll. Why are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? So.
Yeah, that's one thing that I find puzzling. Like, I mean, you have Hall of Fames accredited for certain genres. Why don't they have, like, a hip-hop Hall of Fame? I mean, that just...
Right.
Get it started.
Or again, I was going to say, or again, just change the name. Just change it to the Music Hall of Fame then. You know, if you want to let all these other genres in, that's okay. It's just, I don't know. Again, it's one of my
pet peeves. I kind of lean more to having the genres, just like we have. I mean, if they want to have an additional overall Music Hall of Fame, just like how we have the Grammys. But you also see, like, BET Awards, and you also see the CM, the Country Music Awards. So
right. It's
nothing right. Against having specific Hall of Fames for those specific genres. But if they do want to have, you know, be putting people in a Hall of Fame, just like you said, create a Music Hall of Fame that encompasses everything, but you can still have those individual genre Hall of Fames to recognize those specific groups in those specific genres.
Right.
Well, one of the fun questions we like to ask our guests that come on the show is questions dealing with not just yourself, but your interactions with other coaches in the community. And this particular question I have for you is, who would you say are some of the best or most enjoyable coaches to play on the mic?
On the mic, my number one, no doubt about it, was Beefy. Again, I don't care what game you played with him. If you had a conversation with him, you were laughing almost the entire time. You know, and I'm not saying this because he passed away. I'm not. You laughed the entire time. He was just a funny dude, a good dude. You know, and I don't care if it was college football or especially like Call of Duty and stuff. I'm not going to repeat what Mike just posted the other day about Call of Duty, a story with Beefy, but it was just hilarious.
Wait, was that the comment that involved Dello?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
See, me personally, I couldn't stand playing Beefy on the mic because of that simple fact that he was so funny. Like, I, like, seriously could not focus on what I was doing. Like, the conversation would just go into all sorts of places, and I'm just sitting up there laughing. One time he actually had me, like, crying laughing on the mic, and I think I threw an interception. I ran into my own end zone. Like, it was just crazy mess going on. I was like, Beefy, I'm going to have to mute you for a little bit, buddy. I said, we got to stop. This is just going on too far. And I enjoy playing him in Call of Duty as well. I mean, it didn't matter what you had going on. Like, it could be the worst match going on in the world, but you enjoyed it. Because he was just talking mess about everything that was happening. And hopefully you weren't the reason that, we were losing, because he was really going to ream on you.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It just, you know, it was kind of like that fraternity brother that always gave you shit, whether it was good or bad. It was always, you know, it was just, he was just a good dude.
Love it. Moving on there now, continuing to, you know, talk about other coaches and stuff that are in the league. If you're you're streaming and watching games for fun, what are some of the people that you really enjoy watching them play, watch how they play or whatnot?
I mean, I guess I'll say it. Most of the top tier coaches in the league. And if I don't name you, I apologize. I'm not forgetting about you, but it's, you know, Big
that's
Mike.
A question to, you know, to make people think that you don't like that entire purpose.
Yeah. I mean, Big Mike has always been one that I've, you know, looked up to as far as the way he plays. It's always NDL style, no matter what team he has, no matter if it's a scrimmage game or a national championship, it's always straight up gameplay, you know, just an all around good dude. You know, for some of the newer guys, the Jiggies, the Vegas, those types of guys, Marion County, D. Kane, you guys, it's, you know, I scrimmaged a lot with you, D. Kane, there for a while when the game first came out, because I was trying to learn the game, trying to understand, you know, first off, all the controls, because it's been 10 years since we played college football. Now I played Madden since then, but still, it's a different game. And it's kind of like we were talking before this podcast kind of started, was that top tier, they don't make mistakes. If they do, it's very few. And they always seem to win that turnover battle. They force you into making mistakes. And that's the hardest thing for me mentally, is learning that piece of it. Learning that it's okay to punt. It's okay to fight another day. You know, fight for the next down. Like, when I'm rolling out with a quarterback, if he's under pressure, throw it away. Don't try to throw it down the field, because it's going to end up in an interception. It's those types of things that I'm terrible at, and I'm still working on getting better, but it's those types of guys, you know, that kind of help me want to mold my game after them, just because of that. There's a lot of coaches I like enjoy playing, but, you know, your question, you asked me kind of like, who are the top coaches that I enjoy watching? It's those guys.
Gotcha. I definitely identify with that whole knowing that it's okay to punt, and you can see some guys, you're like, third down, okay, we'll let the drive end. I can only wonder how many more games I may have won in my time if I just would accept that and realize, you know what, I shouldn't force this third down pass in the first or second quarter.
Right, same here.
Yeah, it's one thing for me, the thing I love about this game and the NDL is the fact that when it's not a league game, there's so many of us coaches that want to play people, not so that we can, you know, win or, you know, get that scrim, just to work on things and to help other people work on things. And that's one thing I like about this league, is the fact that even with the top players, it's not like they're holding secrets, or like if you ask them a question or, you know, come to them about help, that they try to shy away from you because they don't want you to learn, you know, what they know. No, everybody's willing to give you any information to help you, not even so much about getting better, but just help you enjoy the game more. Because if you make better plays, if you get a few wins, yes, you're going to have more fun. So that's what we try to provide here, and that's the one thing I love about this community. It's about helping your fellow person. It's not about, oh, I got to get this conference championship, or I got to get this natty, or whatever the case may be, and I love that. So,
yeah, I agree with you.
So, Ned, let me ask you a question. Now, when it comes to sports video games, what would be your Mount Rushmore of sports video games?
My first game on there, I don't know if this is necessarily in order, but the first one that comes to my mind, it's an old football game called Fourth and Inches on the Commodore 64. It was a computer game. My friends and I got so into that game. On the Commodore, you could edit the players' names. So we would make up our own teams and then play a season amongst ourselves, keeping everything in a notebook. All the stats and the records and the, you know, brackets for playoffs and everything. So we
love
spent
it.
A shit ton of time on that game back in the day. You know, and I know some of the young bucks, they have no idea what the hell a Commodore 64 even is.
Even a notebook is.
Yeah, you said that and my jaw dropped.
Yeah, exactly. For me, Pac-Man is on that Mount Rushmore. And I know it's not a sports game, but it's one that, you know, on the Atari 2600, I spent hours and hours and hours playing that game. I played it one time where I actually, my score went as high as you could go and it flipped back to zero. And my parents have a picture of it and my dad talks about that to this day. So to me, that's up there. So other games, another one I have that's not a sports game, Metal Gear Solid. That series to me was just one of the absolute best ever. Played hours and hours on that entire series, not just one game.
I have to agree.
And then when you get into, this really isn't a sports game, but it's a racing game, Mario Kart.
Totally a sport.
Yeah,
racing completely. Is a sport.
When I went to college in 93, that when I say that's all that me and my roommates did, that's literally all that I did. It was absolutely amazing to me at the time. I loved it. I still have a Nintendo 64 with that game to play today, so that's definitely up there for me. And then a couple sports games, NHL hockey on the Sega Genesis. That's one that I played kind of like the Fourth and Inches, where, you know, you didn't change players' names, but we would set up seasons. We would keep track in the notebook of our teams and our record and how we did and that type of stuff. So to me, that one was a lot of time spent on that as well. And then two games I just want to kind of give a shout out to, because I think that's what, 4, 5 games right there. The last two, obviously John Madden Football. When that came out, it was, you know, kind of a breaking thing. You know, that's why I think most of us are here today, because that series started.
Absolutely. Yep.
And then, you know, I got to give a special shout out to the NFL 2K series. Man, to think that 20 years ago, 2K5 had some features that we still don't have in EA games today. So it just, to me, it's up there.
Very true. We're playing that on the, I think it was the Dreamcast my brother had. We played that.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's your Mount Rushmore. So, I mean, you could put more on if you want. And you know what? Pac-Man, we'll call that a hunting game. So that definitely qualifies as well as sports.
Good job. Good job.
Yeah. Stay in the sports world here, as I guess most of the questions have been. If you had the opportunity to go to any sporting event in the world, which one would you choose?
it's tough for me to pick between the Super Bowl and the Natty, but I'd probably go Super Bowl just because it's a bigger spectacle, I feel like. I know the Natty's just as big, but for me, it definitely would be football, American football. I'm nothing against soccer. I never got into that sport. I know that there's countries that, you know, are absolutely crazy over soccer. It's just something that I never got into. So for me, it would be, you know, the Super Bowl.
Now, here it is. I'm trying to mess around with my mic, and I'm already unmuted. Now, have you been to any get-togethers that were held by members of the NDL, and do you plan to attend the next convention?
Yes, I was. Yes to both of those. Yes, I have been to a couple get-togethers. Let me see here. That was 2010. I'm actually bringing up some pictures right now to look at that. It was 2010, and that one, it was just a small, it was just four of us. It was Old Schooler, who's Stan, his buddy, his screen name was Harder, his name's Dale, and then Black Rain Randall, who's in the league now. It was us four hanging out, and then in 2011, we did one where, and there may have been other guys there, I apologize if they were, I don't remember, but it was those guys plus Texas fan Pino was there, Jeff Daddy was there, C Nasty Corey was there, and then Dak Joe, he was there. Like I said, I can't remember if there's any more, but those guys were definitely there because I have some pictures to prove that we were all together. And then I went to Vegas, oh God, I don't remember the year. It's probably 2012 to 13, almost 14. I went like five times in a year and a half on my own, just with maybe one friend here or there. But it was pretty much just me, and I would meet up with Black Rain every time I was out there. He doesn't live far from there, so we would meet up every time, and it was awesome just to hang out with him, and we became good buddies, and to this day, we're good buddies, and we play every year. I mean, every season now that the game's back, no matter who has what team, we play just out of the mutual respect of our friendship.
Yep.
And then you asked if I plan on going next year. Yes, to Nashville, absolutely. I don't know how to say it. I was pissed that I missed the last one, and I'm not pissed at anybody, people wise. It just I was pissed that I just couldn't go. But it was, you know, had our racing ended that weekend, and we always have a fun day of the RC racing where they do just stupid, funny, crazy races, like taping a balloon to the back of your vehicle, putting a thumbtack on the front of your vehicle, and it's like Mario Kart. You drive around and try to pop the balloons. The last one with the balloon wins.
Absolutely amazing. So,
yeah, I have videos of it. It's funny as hell to watch. We had a race where there was like 20 cars in there, and there was no turn marshals. So if you wrecked, nobody was flipping you back over to keep racing. So it was the last person standing wins kind of thing. So that was going on that weekend, and obviously with my son, like I said before, with him being involved in it now, you know, that's my priority. So I was there with him, and I'll be there next year for Nashville.
Can't wait.
Same here, man. I really enjoy meeting the guys, and I think Lick talked about it today on the PTD show, but you know, when you meet somebody face to face, first off, the interactions are way different than they are when you're behind a keyboard. And you really, when you get to know somebody, you really get to respect them. And you truly do build friendships, and it becomes, that's where the community aspect really, really shines through. So to me, I absolutely love them, and I'll attend them every year if I can.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. Yeah. I was pissed at myself for not being more aware of the channels to the point that I missed that thread, which caused me to miss the gathering this year. But I am definitely going to the next one. Because personally, you guys may not believe it because I'm more so quiet in the Discord, but I'm really funny in person. And I mean, we'll see when. And it's kind of funny that I am funny.
I like to think I'm the same way. Like, I, you know, because of the league, I try to be a little bit more serious and mm-hmm. kind of upstanding, if you will. But in person, it's like, man, fuck that. This is me.
Yeah.
You know, just let it go and be myself.
Yeah. I'm a damn fool in person. I'm not going to hide it. Like, we're going to laugh about everything, including myself. Let's go. So.
Exactly.
We were talking about the launch of 26 coming up, and we kind of all touched on some things. Here's something that we always find interesting here on Inside the NDL. Let's say that you are the CEO of EA and you have all the say about making the next game. What things would do you focus on or make sure get fixed, or what features are added or removed in this next game?
That's an interesting question. So, if you're the CEO of EA, I know that they're, whatever the hell it's called, the ultimate team, blah, 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 whatever option that is their absolute cash cow. I know that's where they make a ton of their money. But I from an NDL perspective, thinking of the NDL, I don't know if I would make it where a dynasty could have potentially 134 or 136, whatever it's going to be on the new game, members, or if I would rather it just be able to feed stats into our website, kind of like it used to feed like League Daddy and them. Just because while a dynasty is nice,
import the stats like we could for Matt. You mean like importing the stats like we do for Madden when they had an app that worked once upon a time?
Yeah. You know, if we could do something like that through a play now option where you could at least have a API call that sends those stats somewhere, Omi could grab them and then import them. And that would be absolutely amazing to me. But I just, again, I like the dynasty, but I think it could be kind of a nightmare waiting on 136 or 34 guys to do their recruiting, to do what they need to do. You know, the dynasties open 1 week at a time. So there's some pluses to it and some minuses to it. So I almost wish that it would just give us the ability to export the data so that we could keep what we have built already and just take away that manual stat entry, because that's the biggest piece that, you know, I wish we could have.
Yeah, I definitely feel that. I at least find it kind of easier in a way than when we had to do it before, because we got the streams where you can just grab the numbers from, but I don't have to scramble and write, have my, you know, penmanship, which is atrocious, and fill out a notebook, and hopefully I can read it back later when I get onto the website to go enter it in after the game.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely love the streaming. And like you said, a lot of my streams, I'll run through the stats at the end just so I have it, so that if I can't fill it out right then and there, I can go back and, you know, pause it on that screen and enter the stats. But the next step of that to me would be if we could take that data and have it exported right from the game right to a site, and then Homie can work his wizardry and pull those stats right into our games, or at least, you know, make it easier to import.
Yeah, I get that.
All right, well, as we're getting close to the end here, one of the things that we like to wrap up with is something that helps with the younger or newer coaches, I should say, and their navigation throughout the community itself, not just the football side of it. So being a person in the position that you are, being an OG, being an admin, what words would you share to the newer coaches joining the league, And it doesn't have to be focused on, you know, the gameplay or anything like that. Just advice on navigating through the league successfully.
Some of this I may have said earlier on the PTD show. And it, obviously then it had a little bit different meaning than this question, but remember that we are a community, not just a gaming league. Take time to get to know guys. And that goes both ways, from the vets to the new guys, you know, the newer guys in the league. Take time to talk with each other, get to know each other. I'm not gonna harp about what I talked about earlier, but no one expects you to get along with the other 133 guys that are here. Like, I don't care. It's kind of like I tell my kids on the football team. I don't care if you hate each other when you walk off this field. But when you're on the field, you're going to respect each other. And you're going to help each other. And you're going to be brothers while you're on the field. That's kind of how I treat the NDL. There's guys that I would absolutely love to have a beer with. There's some guys that some days I'd absolutely like to punch them in the face. But in the end, I at least respect them, you know, and then I said this part earlier, you know, when you're typing out messages, when you're talking with people, and I'm not talking about live chat or DMs or whatever, I'm just saying in general, remember that it's another human being on the other end of that message. 99.999% of the guys in this league are not doing things maliciously. Give them patience. Give them time. Give them respect. And again, that goes both ways. I'm talking to vets. I'm talking to newer guys. You know, it. The guys that want to be here, if you take the time and talk to them, you'll find out that they're good people and they truly do want to be here. If they don't want to be here, those are the guys we get rid of. You know, and I know that it was a hot topic for some, and I know that it may be a hot topic going forward, but, you know, since the game came back, we did not boot people immediately for the 35-point rule. The admin team, most of us, took it as, let's talk to this person. How are they? How's their attitude? Are they a good person? Do they want to be here? You know, did we have any prior issues besides this? Like, and then what caused it? You know, if you did it on purpose, okay, I can't help you. But if certain things happen, we agreed that it just doesn't make sense to get rid of someone when they're willing to adapt, they're willing to adjust, they're a good person, and they want to be here, and they want to be a contributing member of the community. So, you know, again, it goes back to the give them respect, give them time, give them patience. Like, you know, if we went to them and they're an absolute ass and they're swearing at us and they're, you know, the interaction's just that whole way, obviously we're not even going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You're out. But when you have guys that clearly they apologize, they want to be here, something happened, blah, 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 whatever it is. Those are guys that we want to work with because we really do feel they're good guys. They want to be here. They're willing to adapt their gameplay style. You know, I think if we're 5 more years into this thing, yeah, I could go back to the, hey, if somebody breaks 35-point rule, let's get rid of them. But so many guys came to this league playing Madden for the last 10 years. They had nothing else to play. A lot of those Madden leagues were not playing our style of football. There was a lot of cheese being played. So, you know, it's give the guys a little bit of a benefit of the doubt here. You know, work with them if they want to be here. So, you know, that's my biggest message to everyone is just take a step back. First off, relax. This is a video game. We're supposed to take stress away from our daily lives by playing this game, not add stress to it. You know, just, I don't know, just have mutual respect for everybody, man. Like, I tell my kids, there's enough assholes in this world, you don't need to be one. Like, you know, just be a good person, respect them, and go from there.
Well, I definitely couldn't have said it better myself. Penguin, you got anything else before we close out there, buddy?
No, I think I'm pretty much tapped. We got all the Ohio questions out, and I mean, I guess it is a much nicer state than I considered at the start of the night. So I apologize for my Ohio biases when they do show or whatnot at times, and hopefully get a chance to have an NDL convention up there. I think that'd be a good destination.
No, I'm actually bidding for Virginia Beach next.
Yeah, wherever we go, I think it'd be interesting to try to visit different parts of the country where potentially some NDL guys live at different times. You know, I'm not saying their homes, but at least to see their state, like you said.
I mean, their homes and not tell them we're coming, that could also make it very interesting as well.
Oh, God. That would be funny. Well, thanks you guys for coming up and sharing a moment with us. Thank you, Nidler, for spending some time with us and allowing us and the lead to get to know a little bit more about you. Penguin, as always, I appreciate you being on the show, helping me out here, buddy. And for those who tuned in, thank you for taking the time to listen. This has been another edition of Inside the NDL. We will catch you guys next time.
Thanks for having me.